It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is November 17th, 2021, and that means, my friends, it is Wednesday. Big ol' Wednesday. Holy cow, my neighbor just texted me that he has turned 75, so I need to send him a happy birthday text after the show. Anyway, sorry, I just wanted to make sure. Let's see, attach session 10. Sorry, 1 second. Do, 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 do. So, anyway, sorry, it's just taking me a second. I'm bouncing around trying to get my terminal set back up because, you know, the way you interact with everybody on radio is over there on SDF in COM, which is the communications program we all use, short for Commode Chat. You just SSH over to SDF.org, and from there, you run COM, C-O-M, then you press G for go to, and then a non-radio, all lowercase. And then that'll get you all set up. You'll be in the chat room. You'll be able to hang out with everybody. I was forgetting a flag. And that was causing my issue. So sorry for the delay. This should let me in. Oh dear, I have 13 messages. Whoops. Well, I'll have to read those after I get over into COM, because jeepers creepers. Non-radio. There we go. Sorry about that. Alright, let's see who else is hanging out in COM today. Push our R for review. We got Stug and X1, PJP and Ratsu. Thank you so much for being here. So sorry that the show got kind of funky there. Ronald, thank you for being here too. So anyway, I've kind of rambled on as I was trying to get my computer together. We better just go ahead and get started the way we pretty much always start. And you know what that is? That's with
world news.
That's right, the world news. So open those, open. All right, today's the 17th. First, deadly storm cuts transport links around Vancouver, over there in British Columbia, in Canada. A deadly storm, described by officials as a once-in-a-century weather event, has severed road and rail links around Vancouver, Canada. Two motorways connecting the West Coast city were closed after being damaged by severe flooding. Thousands of people were forced to leave their homes due to the massive storm which struck on Sunday. A woman was killed in a highway landslide, and rescuers say at least two other people are missing. The woman's body was found near Lillooet, about 250 kilometers from Vancouver, according to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, or RCMP. Sergeant Janelle Showett said that rescuers had not yet determined the number of occupied vehicles that were lost in the slide, in the mudslide, according to AFP News Agency. Motorist Catherine Rennie told CBC News she saw the landslide come down on traffic that was already at a standstill south of Lillooet. No sooner do we get back into our vehicles, the people that were in front of us are just screaming and running, she said. The look on their faces, it was like a tsunami was coming. It was the scariest thing I've ever seen. I just turned around, and I'm just watching the whole side of the mountain coming down and taking out these cars, everything just being swept away. The provincial minister of transportation, Rob Fleming, told a news conference it was the worst weather storm in a century. Minister of Public Safety, Mike Farnworth, said he had no doubt that the storm was linked to climate change. Thousands of homes in BC, British Columbia, were evacuated after an atmospheric river, a long strip of moisture in the atmosphere that transport water from tropical regions toward the poles, dumped the region's monthly rainfall average in just 24 hours. All 7,000 residents of Merritt, about 120 miles, interesting, they switch from kilometers to miles. Anyway, about 120 miles northeast of Vancouver were ordered to flee their homes on Monday. Snow fell on Tuesday, and cars could be seen floating in icy floodwaters. Hey, I'm Stony. Welcome, welcome. Yeah, so this is pretty tough. There are a lot of good photos in this BBC article, but wow, just a lot of destruction. Sound that there's lives lost there. Let's keep on going with our body counts. In Nigeria, at least 5 people were killed in a Lagos explosion. A gas explosion in Lagos on Tuesday killed at least 5 people, including a child, an emergency service official told the Associated Press. A National Emergency Management Agency spokesperson confirmed 3 men, 1 woman, and a 10-year-old boy had died, adding the rescue operation was ongoing. The fire broke out after a cylinder exploded at a gas shop in the densely populated Mushin area of Lagos. It was extinguished in about an hour. Authorities said 10 people were rescued alive and that they were treated and discharged on the spot. The cause of the explosion is not yet known, but authorities are suspecting one of the gas cylinders exploded as a result of a fire close to the gas shop and work being done on one of the cylinders. At the scene of the explosion, a crowd lined behind a barricade as rescue workers and some residents carried away the gas cylinders left within the premises, while the remains of vehicles destroyed were packed at one corner. Gas explosions are common in Africa's most populous country, especially in Lagos, a city of more than 14 million people. One of the most recent was in October 2020, when an explosion at a gas station killed 8 people and razed many buildings. 2 months ago, the Lagos state government set up a team to monitor outlets where gas is stored in a commercial quantity and carry out a safety audit. So far, 1,850 places were surveyed, out of which 15 were closed for not complying with safety standards. In July this year, federal lawmakers in Nigeria asked authorities to design a strategy to regulate the use of old gas cylinders, arguing that the continued use of old cylinders can cause explosions, especially in poorly controlled environments. So we'll see how that goes there. Just death and destruction all over the world. In Armenia, Azerbaijan, in that conflict zone there, their ceasefire holds one day after deadly border clashes. You're right, X1. Usually gas tanks are fitted with overpressure valves. I think these are old tanks that were discarded that people have salvaged and are capping off in unsafe ways. They don't have any photos of the gas cylinders, or else we could have tried to dissect it. If I see any, I'll bring them along. So, a Russian-brokered ceasefire was holding on Wednesday at the Armenian-Azerbaijani border, officials say, a day after deadly clashes between the arch-foes sparked fears of another flare-up in their territorial dispute. On Tuesday, clashes between Armenia and Azerbaijani troops left 8 soldiers dead in the worst fighting since last year's war over the long-disputed Nagorno-Karabakh region. The 6 weeks conflict, which claimed the lives of more than 6,500 people, ended last November in a Russia-mediated deal that saw Armenia cede swaths of territory it had controlled for decades. Tuesday's fighting ended in the evening after mediation by Russia's defense minister, Sergei Shoigu. 7 servicemen died and 10 more were wounded in the clashes provoked Tuesday by Armenia, Baku's defense ministry said, adding that the situation at the border stabilized on Tuesday evening. Armenia's defense ministry said 1 Armenian soldier was killed, 13 were captured by Azerbaijani forces, and 24 servicemen were missing. It said the situation at the border's eastern sector was relatively calm, and a ceasefire agreement was being respected on Wednesday morning. Armenia's Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan on Tuesday accused Azerbaijan of targeting Armenia's statehood, sovereignty, and independence. Baku said Yerevan was responsible for large-scale military provocation. Armenia appealed to its Russian ally for military support under the Collective Security Treaty Organization Pact, which obliges Moscow to protect it in the event of a foreign invasion. Given that there was an attack on Armenia's sovereign territory, we appealed to the Russian Federation to protect Armenia's territorial integrity. The same day, Russian President Vladimir Putin discussed the situation with Pashinyan by phone, Kremlin said in a statement, and agreed to continue contacts on the matter. Before the ceasefire was announced, the EU and the UN called on both sides to cease hostilities. Ethnic Armenian separatists in Nagorno-Karabakh broke away from Azerbaijan as the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, and an ensuing conflict claimed around 30,000 lives. So, these two countries are having a time. Hopefully they can find peace there. There's a lot bigger things they could be doing, I think. Now, this is pretty sad. This is kind of a bummer. It's just, Anyway, it kind of sucks.
That's correct.
Decathlon halts canoe sales to curb English Channel migrant crossings. Sporting retailer Decathlon has pulled canoes for sale in northern France to stop migrants from using them to cross the English Channel. The company said the boats had been withdrawn from stores in Calais, as well as Grand Synth. It's S-Y-N-T-H-E, but Synth makes me think of Tobe and the Dubious Goals Committee, which happens at 1930 UTC every single day on and on radio. I'm sure it isn't Grand Synth, but I think I'm going to call it that anyway. But anyway, yeah, exactly, X1. Which side is the terrorists whenever they're both poor countries? And I'm thinking that the U.S. and the West is going to say that... thanks, Doug. I think the U.S. and the West is going to say that whoever Russia backs, those are the terrorists, because then we can be the other guys. Because there's always only two sides to wars, right? Anyway, Grand Synth is where they're also not selling canoes. The decision on Tuesday followed a sharp rise in attempts to reach the U.K. from migrant camps in northern France. A record 1,185 migrants crossed the channel in small boats last Thursday. A day later, three migrants were reported missing after trying to cross the channel in canoes. The UK government said the record number of crossings was unacceptable and called on France to do more to prevent migrants from making the often dangerous journey. The purchase of canoes will no longer be possible given the current context, Decathlon told the AFP news agency, confirming local media reports. Wow. And then they have a chart showing the crossings, the channel crossings, and in the past 3 years, the past 2 years, crossings were under 10,000, and in 2019 it was way less than 5,000, and now here in 2021, they're up to almost 25,000. So definitely a significant increase there. Oh my gosh!
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
I know. We got to get over there. But first, we've got a couple of we've got two stories here to talk about real quick. First, Delhi smog, pollution. Schools and colleges are shut as pollution worsens. Authorities in the Indian capital of Delhi have shut all schools and colleges indefinitely amid the worsening levels of air pollution. Construction work has also been banned until November 21st, but an exception has been made for transport and defense-related projects. Only 5 of the 11 coal-based power plants in the city have been allowed to operate. A toxic haze has smothered Delhi since the festival of Diwali. The level of PM2.5, tiny particles that can clog people's lungs in Delhi, are far higher than the World Health Organization's safety guidelines. Several parts of the city recorded figures closer to or higher than 400 on Tuesday, which is categorized as severe. A figure between 0 and 50 is good, between 51 and 100 is satisfactory, according to the index. Some schools had already shut last week because of pollution, and the Delhi government said it was mulling over a lockdown to improve air quality as dense clouds of smog engulfed the city. A mix of factors, like vehicular and industrial emissions, dust and weather patterns, make Delhi the world's most polluted capital. The air turns especially toxic in winter months as farmers in neighboring states burn crops double, and fireworks during the festival of Diwali, which happens at the same time, only worsen the air quality. Low wind speed also plays a part as it traps the pollutants in the atmosphere. You can talk to Publius about the brown cloud that hangs out around that area. And it really reminds me, the reason I wanted to bring this up is because this really reminds me of like the 80s and the early 90s of the United States when California was always just covered in smog. I remember growing up, I always thought I never wanted to move or live or go anywhere near California because they were always covered in smog and had such terrible pollution. And nowadays, you'd never know. So, anyway, maybe this is the turning point where we'll get some environmental reforms in India. It'd be interesting. All right, one more story, and then we'll play a song. Milk, meat, and might. In Somalia, the camel is king. We've talked about this before. Oh, yes, Doug, very true. Engines, if you've got any... if you look up online, you can see pictures of engines that have flown through the smog in that area, and there it's troubling. So this is cool. I think this is neat because in the United States, we're big on cows and beef. We've got lots and lots of cows and bulls and steers and have the whole nine, right? Well, In Somalia, it looks like the camel has taken that spot. What we've got here from AfricaNews.com, the nomad was thirsty and the journey into the Somali desert would be long and taxing. Turning to one of his beloved camels, Ali Abdi Elmi squeezed fresh milk into a wooden urn and took a deep drink. "I have 5 children and we all depend on camel milk to survive," said Elmi, passing the pot to one of his sons who took a swig of the rich brew. I don't know if we call it a brew, but okay. For many Somalis, the camel is a gift from the gods, a source of milk and meat, and a beast of burden in the desert, and, as climate change spurs extreme weather in the Horn of Africa, insurance in time of crisis. An animal of haughty and cantankerous repute, in Somalia the camel is celebrated in songs and folklore, a symbol of status and prosperity, and exchanged in marriages or to settle feuds. Hey, just like cattle here in the U.S. In this overwhelmingly rural society of 15 million, the rearing of camels and other livestock underpins an economy devastated by war and natural disaster that ranks among the world's poorest. The livestock industry is the main contributor to economic growth in Somalia, and the normal years account for 80% of export. Camels are far outnumbered by sheep and goats, which wander Hargeisa in northern Somalia, and with their owner's phone numbers scrawled on their sides, should they get lost and need returning. But at 7 million beasts, there are more camels in Somalia than almost anywhere else, and they don't just confer respect on their owners, they fetch much higher prices. "We don't have crude oil in this country. Camels are our crude oil," said Abdi Rashid, a trader clad in aviator sunglasses and a tan safari suit at Hargeisa's biggest livestock market. So, I thought this was really neat. An impressive specimen can carry a $1,000 price tag, said Kosar Abdi Hussein, who oversees the market where camel milk is sold fresh, and even camel urine, believed to have health benefits, is bottled. The sale is made by locking hands under the checkered shawls carried by herders. Numbers of knuckles tapped and fingers grasped determine the price, a tradition to ensure negotiations are kept private. Pretty cool, right? You can read all about that. There's more details in a video of all the cool stuff over there at AfricaNews.com if you want. So this song here we've got is from Anti-Flag, and it's called "The WTO, which is the World Trade Organization, Kills Farmers." Let's go ahead and get that started for you. I did my best to make it in the world. I poured my sweat and tears into the fertile generation, generation, generated what was needed for supply to meet demand. I
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, that's right. Anon Radio is powered by SDF, and SDF's powered by you. So thank you so much for being here, and thanks for hanging out. It's a reminder, the WTO kills farmers with their policies. All right. So let's go ahead. Since we're running low on time, I'd like to go to the end of my list of articles and work backwards. So we're going to hear some tech news and random U.S. news here for a second. Let's go ahead and play a little bit.
Is it time for tech news?
All right. First, sad news, or I guess it could be good or bad news, depending on how much of Amazon's body you've accepted into your own. The Amazon website, amazon.co.uk, is going to stop accepting Visa credit cards for payments starting in January of 2022. Amazon is going to stop accepting Visa credit cards for payments in the UK. The cost of processing payments on the cards has made it too expensive to support them, Amazon said. Amazon will continue to accept Visa debit cards as well as credit cards from other firms like MasterCard and American Express. Amex is notoriously is famous around the United States, at least, for not being accepted because they charge too high of fees. The new rules start on January 19th. So if you are in the UK and buying stuff on Amazon using a Visa card, better hurry up. The US, in great irony, I guess, are kind of showing that, you know, the US loves to talk and it's do as I say, not as I do. The U.S. auctions off oil and gas drilling leases in the Gulf of Mexico after climate talks. Just 4 days after landmark climate talks in Scotland, in which Joe Biden vowed the U.S. will lead by example in tackling dangerous global heating, the president's own administration is providing a jarring contradiction, the largest ever sale of oil and gas drilling leases in the Gulf of Mexico. And I'm telling you what, those guys are bad at drilling for oil in the Gulf of Mexico. They spill oil so much. The beaches are just no fun. The U.S. federal government is on Wednesday launching an auction of more than 80 million acres of the Gulf for fossil fuel extraction, a record sell-off that will lock in years and potentially decades of planet-heating emissions. The enormous size of the lease sale, covering an area that's twice as large as Florida, is a blunt repudiation of Biden's previous promise to shut down new drilling on public lands and waters. It has stunned environmentalists, who argue the auction punctures the U.S.'s shaky credibility on the climate crisis and will make it harder to avert catastrophic impacts from soaring global heating. Yeah, it's not really a big surprise to anybody who has lived in the United States, though. Oil and cash is king, and it doesn't really matter what else is going on. It doesn't matter if kids are dying or anything, as long as it doesn't hurt their revenue. QAnon Shaman, so the guy who wandered around with the hat with the horns on it during the January 6th insurrection, well, the federal judge has sentenced the QAnon Shaman, the U.S. Capitol rioter nicknamed for his horned headdress, to 41 months in prison for his role in the deadly January 6th attack by hundreds of supporters of former President Donald Trump. The sentence on Wednesday of Jacob Chansley matches one imposed by a judge on a former mixed martial artist filmed punching a police officer during the violence, who was also sentenced last week to 41 months in prison. Prosecutors had asked U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth to impose a 51-month sentence on Chansley, who pleaded guilty in September to obstructing an official proceeding when he and thousands of others stormed the building in an attempt to stop Congress from certifying Biden's election. So, glad. Hope he learns a lesson while in prison. Good news here, though. Prepare for synthesizers! Parole has been granted to an inmate who is key in juvenile life debate. A Louisiana parole board granted parole on Wednesday to Henry Montgomery, whose Supreme Court case was instrumental in extending the possibility of freedom to hundreds of people sentenced to life in prison without the opportunity of parole when they were juveniles. Montgomery, who's 75 years old today, was convicted in the 1963 killing of East Baton Rouge's Sheriff Deputy Charles Hurt, who caught him skipping school. Montgomery was 17 at the time. He was initially sentenced to death, but the state Supreme Court threw out his conviction in 1966, saying he didn't get a fair trial. The case was retried, Montgomery convicted again, but this time sentenced to life in prison without possibility of parole. He served decades at Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. A three-member board voted unanimously in favor of parole. Due to the pandemic, the meeting was held on Zoom, with Montgomery appearing on camera. We're out of time, so that's all you get out of that. Exclusive hacktivists are aiming to expose the true face of the regime in Iran. This will be very interesting to see. A hacktivist group calling it Ali's Justice has rocked the Iranian establishment in recent months by leaking videos and confidential documents that appear to show systemic mistreatment of inmates at Iran's most notorious prisons. Bill Gates is backing we're going to run out of time. Hurry. Bill Gates and his power company have picked Kemmerer, Wyoming, a small town of 2,600 people, to be the site of their liquid sodium-cooled nuclear reactor. So nuclear power, it'll be a natrium nuclear power plant located in Kemmerer. So that should be cool. And we're out of time. Please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, and just press the equal sign incom to see the whole schedule, or go to anonradio.net for more. Again, thank you so much for listening. You have a great day.
But our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
It's time for the Dubious Goals Committee.